Good morning and welcome to Storylines. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Our guest today is David Day, author of more than 40 books of poetry, nonfiction, and fiction. David, welcome to Storylines.
Thank you, Christine. Nice to hear from you.
David, you've written on such a wide range of subject matter, covering everything from eco-wars to fantasy and mythology, and for every age group. And we've got to squeeze all of that talent into a tiny half-hour segment. So we're going to concentrate on just a few, starting with your 2016 release entitled Alice's Adventures in Wonderland Decoded. So Lewis Carroll's much-loved Alice's Adventures in Wonderland celebrated its 150th anniversary this year, and the story about your own research into decoding that incredible story is so fascinating that I'd like us to get started talking about that. Tell us about the journey for you, David.
Well, it was sort of an enormous journey. I actually started it last century, literally, about 1996. I was approached by a publisher. I just finished a book on J.R.R. Tolkien, and there was another anniversary just coming up since his death, and I was asked would I be interested in doing one on Alice in Wonderland, and I thought, well, it's a tiny little book after 37,000 years of history of Tolkien. I thought, how difficult can this be? And it was a book I remembered from childhood, and I thought, well, you know, I knew that he was a mathematician and that there was kind of a subplot underneath the story, because there was a real Alice who was the daughter of his boss at Oxford, who was a child that he knew, and that there was sort of a kind of subplot. But I just had no idea until I started actually reading it in detail that, in fact, there was layer after layer after layer underneath it. I found that I could actually, by the end of this process, it took me nearly 18 years to really decode it. I mean, it was one of these things that was really got to be an obsession and nearly ruined me financially.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't let it go. It just kept on going deeper. I could actually, you know, I finally found that he was writing in this almost a microcosm of Oxford in the 1850s and 60s. Each one of the characters in Alice in Wonderland is someone in Oxford during that period. And Oxford was really the center of the whole British Empire, really, particularly his college, Christ Church. Two of Queen Victoria's sons were students there. The whole of the sort of intellectual life of Britain was determined by Alice's father, who was the Dean Little, who was Alice Little's father, was the man who really determined what universities were like in Britain at that time. Was an innovator, changing the university from a church institution into what we now know as a modern university. It's full of these codes that were written into it. I could really teach the whole history of mathematics up until 1850, or the history of philosophy up to that period, because each one of these things are written, encoded within the Alice in Wonderland story.
And David, you know, some people may have been aware that this was sort of so many plays on words and each character symbolizing someone from Oxford, but what they may not know is that Alice in Wonderland is a book that is full of complex layers of symbolism and language play, covering these secrets that you uncovered. And one of those, you call it the ultimate secret, which you've almost alluded to here, but what was the real reason why Carroll felt compelled to write the book in this way for his real-life Alice?
Well, this is one of the theories I put forward in the book, and in fact, what he's doing is, you know, Alice being a female was not permitted to go to any universities. He was writing from the perspective of classical education. Everybody at Oxford spoke in Latin or Greek. Matthew Arnold, in 1857, was the very first professor at Oxford to deliver his lectures in English, which seemed sensible since he was teaching English literature. Up until that point, the exclusion of women was certainly one factor. My theory in this is that, in fact, he's subliminally giving Alice a classical education on each level of these things. And in some something that he believed in it as a church minister, which he also was. He was a deacon of the church, so he was attempting to give her a subliminal lesson. The same reason, I mean, he was very much believing in the idea that through the Mass, even though it was delivered in Latin, that your soul would absorb the message of Christ through the Latin, through the singing and the lessons of the church. It was kind of a belief in this kind of subliminal learning that he sort of built all this texture into this fairy tale.
And ultimately, he succeeded in that, because when the real Alice Little was 80 years old, she was given an honorary degree from Oxford. Is that correct?
Well, it was from Columbia University, okay. and this is when she was 80 years old, at the anniversary of the 100th anniversary of Lewis Carroll's birth. She went to New York, where she was given an honorary degree from Columbia University for being the inspiration for Alice. And also, curiously, at that time, there was a celebration in London of Lewis Carroll, and she appeared at this launch, and another guest who turned up was the original Peter from Peter Pan, Peter Llewellyn, who was the actual inspiration for Peter Pan. So the real Alice and the real Peter met up as the two most famous inspirations for children's books.
Wouldn't that have been something to be an audience at? So, David, we're going to be taking a quick break to hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, I was fascinated to hear that there was one riddle that kind of opened up this whole research for you. So hang on to that. When we come back, listeners, we're going to hear some more from our guest, David Day, talking about Alice's Adventures in Wonderland Decoded. Stay with us. We'll be back soon. Welcome back to Storylines. This is Christine Cowley. Today we are delighted to have with us poet and author David Day. David, before the break, I teased our listeners a little bit with one of the most significant puzzles of Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland that you have decoded for us. So tell us, David, what do you call a grin without a cat?
Yes, it was when Alice talks about the Cheshire Cat smile just appearing in the air and disappearing. And she said, I've seen a cat without, I've seen a cat without a smile, but never a smile without a cat. I kept on pondering this because I thought, what is that about, really? And there's all sorts of aspects to the Cheshire Cat, who was basically based on the character of Edward Bouvier-Houzé, who was the head of the Professor Hebrew and his sponsor there. And at one point she says, Puss Cat, he seemed to like that name. There was a capital P on the puss, and I thought, what's that about? And it was, well, Boozy.
Uh-huh.
And the reference was to him. But also, I kept on thinking, this riddle of what's a cat like. And then I realized that it was like something that I woke up in the middle of the night, and I kept on thinking, I kept on punning with using specialized mathematical language and mixing it with as ordinary speech. And then I thought, for a mathematician, he's written several times about catenary bridges. And catenary bridge is a suspension bridge. And it's a curve that is actually the same shape as an arch upside down. And we see it all the time in building structures. And in mathematics, it's a mathematician's joke. What kind of cat can smile? A catenary. And it's the shape, exact shape, of the Cheshire Cat smile when you look in the book.
Right, the suspension bridge.
And the book is full of these kinds of mathematical riddles. The descent down the rabbit hole, I discovered, is based on a system of Fibonacci numbers. Fibonacci determines a series of numbers, a sequence of numbers, that when you link them together, you can make basically a mathematical rabbit hole that goes on infinitely downward. So when she falls down the rabbit hole, she's going down the Fibonacci. And Fibonacci determines those numbers by counting the generations of rabbits. So the Alice's rabbit is the original Fibonacci rabbit, these numbers.
You've given us a great illustration of that in Alice Decoded. And I just want to mention, too, this is such a gorgeous, gorgeous book. And it's actually on my own coffee table. But all of your other books, too, David, we don't have time to mention them, but I do want to send our listeners to your website, daviddaybooks.com.
Yes. DavidDayBooks.com.
And that's two D's in the middle. So, because we can't even begin to talk about the prolific writing you've done on Tolkien. So for Tolkien lovers, there's something for every age group, plus all your poetry, the beautiful Book of Days that you released in 2014 called Nevermore, a beautiful book of meditation on extinct animals. So certainly something for absolutely everyone on the Christmas list.
Well, yes, I hope so. There's also a children's novel called The Emperor's Panda, which was runner-up for the Governor General's Award, and beautifully illustrated. It won the Ibby International Award for Illustration.
Yes, and I've got that in front of me, too, because I love this book, David, and it was re-released in honor of our Toronto pandas, correct?
Yes. Yeah,
it's just a gorgeous book with wonderful, wonderful illustrations. And even though it's written for children, it is certainly completely engaging for any age group. So, David, I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning on Storylines.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You've been listening to Storylines on Hunter's Bay Radio. Today we've been speaking with author David Day, and please do find out more about David's books on his website. This is Christine Cowley, and I'm here every Thursday morning at 10:05 a.m. talking to authors and book folks about books and the writing life. Thank you for listening.